The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So in the earliest discourses of the Buddha, we see the Buddha who's a master of teaching. And as part of his teaching, he used a lot of similes or metaphors that sometimes are really colorful and evocative. So I'd like to share with you one that's a little bit outrageous, but I think it's evocative and helpful also. So the Buddha, when he's given a teaching, he says, suppose a person were to catch six animals. And each animal has a different domain or different habitat and a different feeding ground. This person would catch a snake, a crocodile, a bird, a dog, a jackal, and a monkey. Very different animals. He would catch one of each of these and tie a strong rope around each animal, and then tie the rope together, all the ropes together in the center with a knot. And then release them, these six animals tied together. So that each animal would pull in the direction of its own habitat, pull in the direction of its own feeding ground, assuming they didn't eat each other, right? We're just making this assumption for this. So the snake would pull one way thinking, let me enter an ant hill. The crocodile would pull another way saying, let me enter the water. The bird would pull another way thinking, let me fly up into the sky. The dog would pull another way and say, let me enter the village. The jackal would pull yet another way, saying, let me enter eternal ground. And the monkey would pull a sixth way, let me enter a forest. Though in these six animals, they would eventually become fatigued and worn out, but then they would be dominated by whichever animal among them was the strongest, and that animal would just drag the other five into the habitat or the feeding ground where that fifth one wanted to be. So the other five would have to submit to that one and come under control of whichever was the strongest. So then the Buddha continues, suppose a person were to catch six different animals, tie a rope around each one, these six same animals, and instead of tying the ropes together, he would tie them to a post, to a pillar, something that's stuck in the ground and is solid. And again, of course, the bird would want to go in the sky, the crocodile wants to go in the water, the monkey wants to go to the forest, the dog wants to go to the village, etc. But they're all in this one place, and eventually they would tire out and would lay down near this post. I know this sounds like really, it sounds a little bit cruel too, right? But this is just for the purpose of making a point of story. So none of the animals have to submit to the other ones. They all are just there in this one place where the post was put. So the Buddha, he explains this simile as each one of these animals we could think about as one of our senses. Eyes, ears, taste, touch. In Buddhism, many of you may know that the mind is a sixth sense. And I'm not sure if I forgot. And smell, thank you. It's the sixth one. And as these animals want to go into their different habitats and feeding grounds, it's just like how the eye wants things that are pleasing and not things that are unpleasing or agreeable, disagreeable. Same with the ear, these sounds that are agreeable, not disagreeable. So getting pulled around by our senses, and whichever one is dominant kind of drags the other one around. For many of us, that may be the mind that's dominant, dragging the other ones around. But in the Buddha's teaching, he's saying mindfulness of the body can serve as a pillar, as a post, as a stabilizing force, that while the senses may pull us around, if we have mindfulness of the body, and if we stay with mindfulness of the body, keep on coming back, then eventually, just like the animals will tire and settle down, then we'll stop trying to have our awareness always leaving, always going elsewhere, but to come and settle down, at least near the body. I like this idea because that is what happens, right? The more that we practice, the more we settle down. But it occurs to me that we don't have to think about these six animals as being the six senses. There's all kinds of things that pull us away from being in the present moment, or if we're choosing mindfulness of the body to be the anchor, lots of things that make it difficult to stay with the body. Some of these include that, you know, the body often holds some of our emotional life. That there can be a sense of, you know, some of our deep down, maybe I will use this word, secrets, things that we don't really want to look at, can show themselves when we settle down and are paying attention to the body. Because often we will use thought as a way to distract ourselves or as a way to do something rather than being with our experience that sometimes doesn't feel comfortable, certainly, and maybe has a certain feeling of not being safe. Like, we want these things to be secret. We want to kind of like keep them quiet in the corner. But if we connect with the body, and we can expand what it means to connect with the body to include the breath, right? Those are the sensations of the body moving. This morning I talked about our posture, like changing posture, going from sitting to standing, standing to sitting, etc. It can also be just our sense of the body if we're doing a meditation while we're in a still posture of just how does it feel to be in a body. So if we were to connect with the body in a way that is not a pursuing or avoiding, but to connect with it, other things may show themselves. But we can use the mindfulness of the body as a way to also support us and to create the stability, and we can tune into the steadiness that we can find there and the stability that we can find there. Certainly during sitting or meditation, but also in our daily lives. For me personally, often when I find that my mind is racing or I'm feeling emotionally upset or something, it's enormously helpful. This has been life-changing for me to just bring my awareness to the sensations of my feet on the ground. So whether I'm talking to somebody, driving, or whatever I'm doing, sitting at my desk, getting an upsetting email, whatever it is, often just to bring attention to the sensations of feet on the ground. Just this quick little movement of the mind can be a stabilizing way. So we may have some emotional residue in our bodies that bubbles up, but the body can also be a place of safety and stability. And also sometimes we would prefer to just stay in our thoughts because maybe it feels a little bit disrespectful in some way to let go of what we're thinking, like, oh no, this is important and I need to contemplate this, or I need to ponder this more. May feel like we're like betraying our experience in some way if we don't like really fully be with our mental experience. And so this is part of wisdom, is to know when is it wise to stay with what's happening in our mind and when is it wise to just let it go and come back to the sensations of breathing or whatever our object may be. I know when we are studying the hindrances, that is those things that get in the way for being concentrated, we often talk about the wisdom of actually really getting to know what is it that's taking us away from our object. So it can make sense to stay with a thought pattern or something that we're a recurring theme that we're noticing. But sometimes it makes sense to just let it go and come back to the sensations of the body without feeling like we have to stay with it. Just let it arise and pass away. One thing about this simile that we'll notice is that the Buddha is not saying, you must go out and tame these animals, you know, make them stay. That's not what he's saying. He's saying just if you do mindfulness of the body, eventually the animals will tire. They will realize that they can't get any far and they'll just come and settle down. In the same way, if we just, with a certain amount of diligence, with a certain amount of persistence, if we're just continuing with mindfulness of the body, all the things that take us away from that will just settle down. So now it's time for us to